Who would you like to be like? Think about that. Who do you want to be like in your life? There's a movie out. It's called Like Mike. The idea is to be like Michael Jordan. And in fact, in preparation for this message, I had to do some research. So I went and saw the movie Like Mike. I did that with my son Daniel, and we watched that, and it's kind of a cute little movie. It's okay. But it showed what life would be like, possibly, if your life was like and you had the ability of Michael Jordan. I think growing up that when I enjoyed playing sports consistently, I can't do it anymore, I keep getting hurt. But when I could do that, I enjoyed, and man, it was Dr. J in my day, in my time. Dr. Julius Erving, he was a great basketball player. Would you like to be like Sammy Sosa? And if you watched the All-Star Home Run Derby this past week, they do it on Monday night. It's just the most awesome thing to see these guys just unload, hit these home runs. He hit 7 of them over 500 feet. That's pretty significant, pretty amazing. But he didn't win the contest. But would you like to be like Sammy Sosa? I think right now in my life, maybe the person I might, notice how I phrase this, might like to be like would be Tiger Woods. Because I can't play basketball and all this stuff, or when I do play it, I get hurt. Or dogs bite me, I don't know, whatever. But Tiger Woods, man, that guy can nail the ball. He hits it a mile, he hits it straight, and he's going for something unprecedented here. Only Jack Nicklaus, I think, has been able to make a run at this, winning the British Open next weekend. But when you think about people, and maybe it's not necessarily sports figures that you idolize and you think about, I would like to be like that person. Now, let me ask you this. What would a good model be like? I don't care who you pick. What would a good model be like? Somebody to follow after. Somebody to look out and to observe and to see that. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And I'm going to move, we've been talking about sports and those things. I'm going to move more to the spiritual as we talk about this. Who would you like to be like spiritually? We're in a series. Okay, Jesus, very good. We'll talk about that a little bit more. We're in a series now entitled Enjoying the Rest of Your Life. And it's your choice. Are you going to enjoy the rest of your life? Are you going to live your life the way you want to live it? Or are you going to live your life the way God intended for us to live it? And that's what we've been studying here. Today we're going to talk about this whole idea of maybe mentors or role models. And we're going to talk about be like Christ. What exactly does that mean? How exactly can we do that? Do we have maybe some role models that are in line with Christ that can help us be more like Him? All right? We're in the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 3 now. We're going to finish chapter 3 and start into chapter 4. For those of you that don't have a Bible this morning, that's fine. The blue Bible's right in front of you. Just open up to page 832. And you're going to be right with us as we continue in this series and in this studies. Enjoying the rest of your life. And we are now, let's see, this will be week number 6. I have 2 more weeks. In fact, the last week I'm going to be doing at the camp out. And I'm looking forward to doing that. But we're going to finish this book of Philippians here in the next couple of weeks. All right, let me just say, first and foremost, pull out your outline that you have. One of the things in life that you need in your life, you need a role model. Now, there are many role models. I hit on sports role models. I could have talked about industry, entertainment. I mean, I could have gone in a number of different directions. But you need a role model. Now, this is not my idea. This is what the Bible tells us. And let's look at verse 17, and who said this, and what do we do about this whole idea of a role model? Join with me. I'm at verse 17 of chapter 3 in the book of Philippians. We're only going to do 4 or 5 verses today. And this whole idea of you need a role model. Look at verse 17. Join with others in following my example. interesting statement, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Now, Philippians 3:17 is a very interesting verse. Paul says, follow my example. Follow me. The idea here is literally mimic what I did among you. So he lived with the Philippian church, this church that was established, and he gave them an example to follow. And so he challenges them, as well as us, to be an example for others to follow. He said, live according to the pattern that we gave you. Okay, which leads me to say, on your outline, you need a role model. Number one, start with Paul. Start with Paul, and that is in verse 17. Verse 17 tells us that. He said, start with my example. So what happens in our lives, in our church, is we become familiar with this book called the Scripture, the Bible. And what we know about this is that many of the New Testament books were letters, many of them written by Paul. Now, Paul did not necessarily write them himself. The process of God giving us His Word was that He used men and women to copy and record His Word. The Holy Spirit moved in their lives, and He gave us His Word through men. And Paul was one of those. And in fact, most of the New Testament is attributed to Paul. Now again, Paul did not write this on his own. He just didn't think all this up. He wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is very, very, very important that we understand that. So we start with Paul. He is our example. So as you become more familiar with the Bible, you read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You read all these books that he authored under the Holy Spirit of God. And we find out more of his example and his pattern for our lives. Okay, but isn't there something when I said, who would we like to be like? Some people said, Christ. Right? I heard some of you say that. Well, let's do this. Point two on your outline then would be this. Move on to Christ. Now, I say it in this way because I'm starting with the book of Philippians. We're using verse 17 as our springboard verse. So we start with Paul and then we move on to Christ. Now, what verse tells us to do that? And you need to probably write this down. It's 1 Corinthians 11:1. It may be provided for you. What I'd like you to do is read this verse with me. Okay? Read. Follow. All right, so Paul is saying here, follow my example, because my example, Paul is saying, is Jesus Christ. So ultimately, we talk about following Christ, and Paul patterned his life after the example of Jesus Christ. All right, now this is really important that we understand this. It is a biblical idea to have a role model and to look for these people, and they are here in our church. And they are all around us. And I'm talking in this regard spiritually. You need a spiritual role model to follow. All right? So the point then, I've said all these two points just to say this. Find and follow a Christ-like role model. Find and follow a Christ-like role model. In my life, I have had the opportunity, and I still have, a number of role models. When I was growing up overseas on the island of Okinawa, my parents were missionaries and they worked with U.S. military. And we had some really neat officers that were role models to me. I can remember back in 1968, I was 10 years old. One of them was Jerry Mitchell. And Jerry Mitchell was just a cool guy. He was in the Navy, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he was a Navy pilot. This was in the height of the Vietnam War. And Jerry Mitchell would come over to our house. Someone led him to faith in Jesus Christ at a chapel meeting. And Jerry Mitchell just got excited about God. And you know what was neat about Jerry Mitchell? He could do everything. He could do sports, which were really important to me at 10 years old. But he also knew God's Word. He memorized verses. He gave his testimony at different places. He was just a guy that you looked up to. And Jerry Mitchell is the first role model I ever had. And one of the things I really liked about him is that he loved God, but he loved sports too. And he was really good at them too. He could play basketball, volleyball. He was a neat guy. He was my first role model. Now, you're not hearing any deep spiritual truth here, but you just start that way. It's interesting. Jerry Mitchell came back. He got out of the Navy, came back to the United States, went to seminary, and got on staff at a small little church with a pastor by the name of John MacArthur. He was on staff there for about 7 years. It's over in the Burbank area. Little church of what, 8,000 to 10,000, I think, something like that. And then he left that church and went up. He is up in the Seattle area now and is pastoring. And I've had the opportunity to talk to Jerry Mitchell and tell him how much I appreciated just his example of his life to a 10-year-old boy. You go to age 17. The next key role model that I remember is a guy named Mark Salser. Now, Mark Salser was smaller than me at this point. He had blonde hair, and he was in charge of our youth group. And Mark loved kids. He wanted to see kids go beyond, not just settle for the ordinary, just get through high school and do this and that. No, he wanted to push us to the limit. And so Mark Salser got this idea of taking a group of 15 of us to Hawaii for 5 weeks, living in some dorms, working at the university and getting 2 meals a day, and then the rest of the time, we would go through and do Bible studies. We did evangelism. We had opportunities to serve in churches. We did all these things. And Mark pushed us to do that. He wouldn't let us just be satisfied with the routine. Now, we had a great time on Hawaii. We did a little snorkeling and a little body surfing and all those things. But Mark sat down with me one day, and I'm 16 or 17, says, "Dave, what are you going to do with your life? You're old enough to figure this out now." He says, "You might not know everything, but whatever you do, you make it count for Jesus Christ." It's interesting. I saw Mark Salser last summer when I went to Colorado. And I said, "Thank you, Mark. In 1975, you hit me with that challenge and that idea. And Mark, to the best of my ability, I'm going to serve God with all my life for the rest of my life." You know what? Mark just modeled some of those things, and it's more caught than taught. He could have preached the Bible to me day in and day out, and there is importance in that, but no, he modeled it. And you just knew he loved you and cared for you, and he pushed you to walk with God. Role models. Perhaps you've had some of these in your life. Perhaps you still do. It's interesting now what happens. Well, what do you look for in a role model? If we're talking about, yeah, I understand we need to do this, it's interesting, verses 18 and 19 are going to say what we're not to have in a role model, and then verses 20 and 21 are some qualities we should look for in a role model. So this is really interesting what Paul now does. It says this, verse 18, "For as I often have told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." So you can just see, just from the content of those two verses, some of the things that you're not to look for when you're looking for a role model. Which leads me to say, number 3 on your outline, do not look for these qualities. What I'm going to do now is go through these little phrases in verses 18 and 19. But you do not want to look for these qualities when you're finding a role model. "For as I have often told you before," I'm back at 18, "and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." What he's talking about here are those that really hate God. They hate Jesus Christ and what he stands for and the message that Paul was giving. They are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. And they live their lives in such a way that they're not even neutral. They're against God and against everything he stands for. Interesting. The first thing I would say is A, for us today, do not look for these qualities. If this person is unsaved, you do not want them for a role model spiritually. I believe they're unsaved that have great books, and I've been to seminars, and they can be helpful. Let's not mix up the two. What I'm saying here is a role model spiritually, they need to be saved. These people who are against the cross and against what God does, they are unsaved, do not follow them. That's what he's saying here at this point. And it's interesting in this verse where it says, they live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Can you imagine being against God and against Jesus Christ and against what this book stands for? And yet many people do. And it's unfortunate. What is their destiny? Look at verse 19. Their destiny is what? Destruction. Destruction, the idea here is to be apart from God. God is willing for people and wants people to come to Him in faith. And He has great patience. But at some point, God's grace will stop. And they will be destroyed. And He's talking literally here about hell. And people not knowing God. Being against His purposes. They will end up in hell. The Bible teaches that. Now this is interesting. Their God is their stomach. Now that's kind of a cut down in that day. It loses a little in the translation for us, doesn't it? So if I went up to Mike Hornquill and said, hey, your God is your stomach. I really nailed him, didn't I? No, we lost a little in the translation there. Well, for them, it would talk about that their focus was on themselves, getting their own things, particularly food and things like that, that it was all about them. And this is the way in which they spoke in that day. But the idea here is that they were just selfish, which leads me to say quality B that you do not want is someone who is selfish, someone who is focused on themselves. And you can tell people like that because they're talking about themselves a lot of the time, telling you how good it is or how bad it is. You want someone who is not unselfish. Their glory is their shame. I'm picking up the third phrase. Their glory is their shame. These people were those who tried to keep the law. All these Old Testament laws I was telling you about last week. And they can't keep the laws, and so it showed their shortcoming. There's no way they could do this. Their mind is on earthly things. Their focus is just on what's going on earth. And these things, as opposed to having a far greater perspective and vision beyond that. So C would be that they would have earthly objectives, and that's verse 19. Their earthly focus. In other words, verses 18 and 19 are about people that are all about themselves. They don't care about God. They are bad examples. Muy malo examples. No bueno examples. They are not good examples. These are some of the characteristics you do not want in a role model, in a mentor. And I think that goes without saying, but it's interesting how Paul kind of spells these things out. All right. But what does he do now? Look at verse 20. But he's going to contrast these qualities now with qualities that you want to look for. In an example, and in a role model. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, remember, Philippians, remember, believers, your citizenship is not here. It's ultimately in heaven with the Lord. That's where your citizenship is. Your focus should be there and on the Lord and on the future. Now, he says, look at these qualities. Evaluate the people that will be potentially your role model by these qualities. What are these people doing? And if we look at this and in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, what is one quality that these people are doing? What are they doing? They are waiting for Christ. They have an expectation. They have a focus that it's on Jesus Christ. So, under this one, look for these qualities, number four. And in verse 20, the first thing he mentions is looking for the Lord. Now, what would a person be like that's looking for the Lord? And living their life in such a way that their first thing he mentions is looking for the Lord. Now, what would a person be like that's looking for the Lord? And living their life in such a way that they're expecting the Lord to return. All right, this is the interactive part of the message. What would be some of the qualities of a person who's looking for the Lord? They would be serving, absolutely. They would be reading. They would be looking and wanting to know more about the Lord, reading their Bible. All right, they would be committed to the Great Commission. They would be involved in actively doing that, looking for the Lord. What else would they be? Kind of an interesting thought. You know, this is not my list. This is what the Bible says, looking for the Lord. Pardon me? They would be positive. They would have an expectation. They would have a hope. They would say, the Lord is coming, and I'm going to live my life in such a way that it honors Him. They would be busy. They would be active. They would be positive. Probably the key word might be obedient. What are we to do as we look for the Lord's return? And I think obedience would be a key part of that. And I think Scott mentioned about the Great Commission. That would certainly be a part of it. Serving, loving, caring for people. These would be qualities of somebody looking for the Lord, because they understand He's coming back. And when He returns, they don't want to be doing nothing. They don't want to just have lived their life only for themselves. It's exactly the opposite quality. They know the Lord's coming. They're active. They're serving. They're looking for ways to share that message, that good news with other people. All right, verse 21. Who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, talking about Jesus Christ, will transform our lowly bodies so dust. But when the Lord comes back, we will get what is called a new body. And that's the point he's making. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. I'll tell you what, if I put a list together, I probably wouldn't have chosen these two things, but this is what is in the scripture. And it's just very interesting. So that when Christ comes back, we'll be like him. In other words, I think what he's saying is this, B, that they will be Christ-like. Now, our bodies now are not that way. When he returns, you will be given a new body when you go to be with him. The scripture teaches that. But our focus, as we live our lives now, are to be Christ-like. Now, so where did I get the title for this message out on the sign, Be Like Christ? This is it. He is our ultimate role model, our ultimate example to be Christ-like. And as we study His Word and understand more of this, we will become more Christ-like. Look at verse 4:1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Dear friends, he said, hey, in expectation of the Lord's return and being like him, as you live your life now, stand firm because he's coming back. Be about his work. Be about his service. Stand firm. He will come and take us. Christ is coming. These are the qualities that we are to look for in someone. Now, I think there's many other qualities we can, but if you're going to be honest to what the Bible says, those are the ones he mentions here. All right, so what does it mean to be Christ-like? And that's just a wide, wide open question with lots of possibilities. Here's what I want to do. I want to take one from Philippians, and I want to take one from the other part of the New Testament. The one from Philippians I want to take, and it's on the box at the bottom of your outline. Make sure they have this. If they are Christ-like, make sure they have, and the key verse for chapter 2 is humble concern for others. A humble concern for others. In other words, chapter 2, we saw the example of being concerned for other people. Then we see the example of Jesus Christ being exhibit A in that humble concern for others. So make sure whoever you choose as your role model that they have a humble concern for others. That is within the book of Philippians. Now, outside of the book of Philippians, probably Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 would give you what are called the fruit of the Spirit. Let's see how far we can get in this. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, control. All right. Good. The fruit of the Spirit. These are the qualities that you want to look for. That's Galatians chapter 5 where you'll find this list listed. The fruit of the Spirit that are growing and developing in their lives. These are really important. Interesting little section. You need a role model. And in fact, you need a variety of role models because I'll tell you what, no one person is going to have all these qualities. You're going to have a variety of role models as you live your life and as you go along, day to day, year to year. It's a fascinating process. In 1986, the first real pastor that was a role model in my life was a pastor named Dale Woolery. Dale Woolery was the most down-to-earth guy I had ever met as a pastor. Sometimes we get these ideas that pastors just live in the clouds and, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do. You know what I mean? Yes, you do know what I mean. All right, but Dale was really down-to-earth, and he was practical. The church I was involved with at that point, and it was a very unfortunate situation, but we had just been sued for $13 million. Dale Woolery prayed on the one hand, and on the other hand went out and got the best attorney to fight this lawsuit. There was a balance here in his life. And in fact, we fought that lawsuit, to make a long story short. Every one of the seven... I can't do it with one hand. Accusations that were raised were thrown out of court. They never even got into court before a judge. But Dale Woolery had such a balance. He trusted God on the one hand. He did everything he could on the other hand. And that's what I respect about Dale Woolery. And I saw Dale less than 2 months ago and told him how much I appreciated his influence in my life. He took me to my first funeral. He took me there and he said, "The next one, you're doing, Dave." I said, "Oh." He helped me do my first funeral. Took me to my first wedding. You know, you study some of this stuff in seminary, but it's never the same. You got to go and do it. And he did that with me. He taught me how to teach a Sunday school class and helped me with those things. And I am eternally grateful for Dale Woolery being in my life. The last guy I'm going to mention is not a pastor. It's a friend of mine that I spent time with this past week. And I've known him since 1988. He attends a church. He serves in a church. He's not a key leader in the church. But I respect him so much because I've been at his workplace. And in an unassuming, unpretentious way, he shares Jesus Christ with so many people, I can't believe it. I stood at the counter for a few minutes and just stood to the side as he talked to people. He owns his own car repair facility. He started one mechanic, small little one-car garage deal back in 1988. Barely made it the first year. Now we're 10, 12 years. Last year he did $1.4 million. He has 15 mechanics. And I've never seen a guy so blessed by God, but gives God the credit. And I just think so much of Richard and have told him that. and have sat there. He'll come over to me. He said, you're the pastor, you pray. I said, no, I come here, you pray for me. He'll stand in the middle of his shop. There's 15 technicians around. He doesn't care. He's the boss, but he doesn't care. And he prays. And he has such a testimony for the Lord. And it's not in your face. It's not pretentious. It's challenging. And every time I get together with Richard, I just told him, I gave him a hug, told him I loved him. You don't do that often with another man. But I told Richard I loved him. And I just appreciate his life and how he's challenged me. Richard didn't even go to college or anything, guys. I mean, he's just got a high school education, just a hard worker. And look at the impact he's having on that whole area. It's the San Gabriel, North San Gabriel Valley. I can't tell you how many people he has ministered to. He's a role model to me of my shortcomings, especially spiritually. I value his friendship to the rest of my life. I say all that to tell you, look for role models. A lot of times it starts with your parents. You may not have had the best parents. I understand that. But you can still be grateful to your parents because you're here. They provide for you. They are one example. And I think most children look at their parents in that way. Beyond that, start looking around for people. They are here and they are in this church. And I can tell you who some of them are. And you would do well to follow their example. What I would do is just read through this, look for some of these qualities, and then just tell them at some point, you know, I'm just looking at your life. You talk about a humbling thing to do to somebody. Tell them you're just looking at their life and want to learn from them. Maybe occasionally just go out and do something with them. I am grateful for the people in this church who have taken my daughter out and just done something with her. It happened in the last church. And my kids, and have done that. You need a role model. The best place to get the credentials for a role model is here. What you're not looking for, but especially what you're looking for. Let them know that, and just watch them. Spend time with them. We have some great role models in this church, and I am so glad we do. Every church has them. You need to find them and you need to follow them, because that's what Paul said to do. Because the people that are the role model material here are people that are following Paul and ultimately following Jesus Christ. Amen? Thanks, Lord, for this opportunity just to look at a very interesting subject that you started the whole idea of mentoring 2,000 years ago. Thank you for some of the requirements you've given to us. Thank you for the fact that we can look to you for those examples. Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you care for us. I pray and thank you for these people in our church. People, Lord, that I look up to and look at qualities in their life and say, I want that, God. Help me to develop that in my life. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to guide and direct in our church family. Pray for the rest of this summer. We've got people coming and going. I pray for safety for them. Pray that we'll just have a neat and special time this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.